thing you should know is that everyone is in really big trouble. Yeah. Even you.
And we're on.
Hi, everyone.
How's it going, UP? You're listening to KDUP 1580 AM or online at kdup.up.edu.
If you'd like to call us tonight, you can reach us at 503-943-7121. If you're off campus or if you're on campus, you can just pick up the phone and dial 7121.
Pretty simple.
You can also reach us by... email at...
Anamorph_radio@ yahoo.com. It's a pretty easy way to get in touch with us, and then we'll take into consideration what you have to say, if it's important, you know, the usual.
Also, how's the website?
The website is pretty much the same. For those of you who have checked out our website, we're currently in the process of trying to fix it up so that we can upload our stuff and have people download it. Probably going to be perfected, like, beginning of the summer, because CJ's going to have free time, and, God, he loves this stuff. So he'll probably go crazy for about a week and then be like, oh, I can do the Animorphs website for about a month, and that'll be great. And so he'll have everything all set up for us, and we won't have to do anything. But as of now, we have two shows on there that are pretty big because we haven't had a chance to compress them. And so all you got to do is go to, what is it? Anamorphs-.
That's a hyphen.
Yeah. That's a good one. Anamorphs-uncensored.com/.
Media.
There we go. Thank you. It's been a while since I've looked at it. I haven't had much free time. Anyway, so you can download those two things, but keep in mind that they're like 40 megabytes, so it might take a long time. But we're going to compress them down to a smaller size and get them all up there. It'll be great.
Compress
them. Eventually.
I don't know about compression.
Why not?
Does Kevin know about compression? Because I don't know about compression.
Yeah. I know about compression.
Awesome.
I think.
Isn't that a weird website name, though? Animorphs Uncensored.
Yeah, sounds kind of dirty. But that's funny. Because we're not that dirty, we swear. We're just a little uncleansed. Anyway, we're pretty much BSing until CJ gets out of mass again. You know, the usual. Should be fun.
Did we start this? No, we didn't.
No.
We got somewhere...
Oh, yeah, we kind of need a synopsis. If you guys listened 2 weeks ago, we didn't have one over Easter, a show over Easter, but 2 weeks ago we had a pretty awkward show. We screwed around as usual for the first hour, and then as an April Fool's joke, we went completely serious. No jokes, nothing. We were, like, actually professional.
It was really, really hard.
Yeah, you should have seen the studio. We were all, like, biting our hands and stuff just to keep from chuckling. It was awkward. Anyway, so...
And then nobody called.
Yeah.
It was sad.
We accidentally played the music to end our show before we were done. And then we were like, oh, wait, you know, is anybody else out there? And there was like maybe one or two listeners. I can't remember who they were.
We gave stuff away.
Yeah, we were going to give stuff away and nobody was on. Except me. Oh, Eben. Eben was going to get the tickets and then he got them late or something. It's not that important. Actually... most of you listeners probably don't care at all.
Oh,
wah, wah, wah.
That's a good sound sound effects. We should get that. We should get CJ on that as a music thing. just yeah. So we can play it whenever there's like tension building. It'll be like, and then they looked into each other's eyes. It'd be great. Mostly. Anyway. Synopsis. Do we remember what happened?
All right, so the book started out. Tobias and Rachel decided to free some red-tailed hawk from Dila Dan Hawk.
Yeah, yeah.
Who kept her in a cage and just wasn't very nice to the lady hawk. So they set her free, got chewed out by the group. Tobias spotted a kind of a weird cloaking effect type thing in the sky.
Yeah.
And they figured it was a Yerk ship. They all morphed, except Tobias, because Tobias can't morph.
Yeah, he's kind of stuck. Oh, well.
They all morphed wolves and, like, rolled on out to the place where they thought the ship was going. Ship was going into the mountains, sucking air and water up for the Yerk mothership.
Yeah, they stopped off at a lake, you know, just getting a little bit of a sip.
Yeah, giant, like, McDonald's bendy straw comes out of the ship.
Yeah.
Sucks up the lake.
Clear tube, and they're like, oh my gosh, a weakness. Let's exploit it and have fun.
Let's blow things up and blow things up some more.
Yeah.
And
so pretty much, basically, the things that are going on are, A, they're trying to destroy this thing to hurt the Yerks.
Bing!
And B, pretty much Tobias is going through mental breakdowns right now because he's like, oh my god, I'm a hawk, but I'm still human, but kind of not. And oh my gosh, I'm so confused because I like Rachel, but I like a hawk, and I'm not, I don't know what, I don't want the hawk because it's a hawk and that's kind of creepy, but I want Rachel, but I can't do much with Rachel because I'm a hawk and I don't know what to do. So, yeah, ding. So pretty much the end of the book, we ended with him going like completely insane.
There's some more stuff. I think.
What else did we miss?
When they were coming back from the place as wolves, Tobias noticed, after like losing himself and almost going off to mate with the female hawk or something.
he said mate.
Birds making eggs and stuff. Anyway.
We're not really that childish. I mean, really.
Seriously. After that, Tobias found out that they were out of time. They had passed the 2-hour morphing time limit.
Oh no. I can't stop.
There's a strange man in the studio.
I'm excited about who's the weird guy on the board.
That's what I was like. There's this picture of a guy with like ginormous chops on his face and he's like looking up like he's stoned or something.
We should call him like Nutty Man.
Crazy Charlie. Okay. He looks like a Charlie to me. He's like bald and got funny eyes.
Like Crazy Charlie. Hey, what's
We'll make up a voice for him and maybe he'll narrate a couple of times.
Oh,
anyway, back to the
synopsis. Somebody was playing ahead of time. You think we're going to get to that?
What? For what? Charlie?
Messenger.
Yeah, I brought it just in case. We brought another book in case we actually get on task eventually. But we're like,
on task because we're awesome.
Oh. Got it.
I'm really, really stoked tonight. I don't know why. It's one of those woo-hoo moods. Because I know that, like, with homework, I'm dead meat.
Yeah. Wait, why do you feel dead meat?
Because I have a Miles Davis report due.
Oh, yeah, I did my paper.
Yeah.
Weird. I'm on top of this.
Getting there. I'm getting there. Hey, but you know what's not allowed in the studio?
What?
Homework.
Exactly. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm not talking about anything. Hey, Kyle, what are we listening to?
We did that.
We already did that. Oh. Way to be, snappish.
Well, that's what I always do whenever I walk in. I'm like, hey, what are we listening to?
Yeah, but this time we were on the ball.
And I'm not late that much.
So, they'd pass.
By 6 minutes, that's like,
it's not bad. It's not bad. We've covered a lot.
So, anyway, funny story at Mastodon.
Actually, stop.
Oh, okay.
Funny story later. We're in the middle of a synopsis and you interrupt.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Well, Matt's been trying to get a word in edgewise.
Animorphs rules, go, Matt.
Okay. They were past the 2-hour morphing limit. Tobias flew back and he's like, guys, morph out. And they were like, oh no, we don't have any time. And so there were some rather not very nice things done to Tobias. Like, Marco was looking at him like, I don't want to be you, as he tried to demorph.
It was very deep.
Yeah. And so Tobias was hurt, and he flew away, and then he flew around for a while, kind of hurt, and then he killed a rat.
Oh, man. It was, like, intense.
It pushed him over the edge.
I gotta say, like, this last book, it's like, I don't know. It's the Saving Private Ryan of Animorphs.
What?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Like, epic or, like people dying everywhere?
I don't know. It's like the through the death and dying and destruction, there comes new life. So, you know, like, you see those war movies, there's, like, all these gory dead bodies everywhere and explosions, and, like, they take the colors and make them, like, brownish and gray, and things don't look all nice. But then out of the midst of that, they've, like, enhanced the colors of, like, a white daisy or something, you know?
Oh.
So that's what's kind of, that's the way I kind of see this, is, like, it's a...
An enhancement of white daisies?
So, I don't know.
So Tobias killed a rat, and from that carnage comes
a
digression.
Maybe this is her, like, symbolism to the reader of...
It's symbolism.
Of, like,
symbology.
I don't know.
Symbology.
The young... man and the young boy becoming
a hog.
A bird. He's flying away from his problems at this point. Just take it that way.
I don't know. It's like an Anakin moment, except, you know, cooler, because
yeah,
he's not
because
saying,
he's not Anakin.
I killed them all. Not just the men.
But the rats.
And the moles as well.
I
hate them.
They were like animals.
And I slaughtered them like animals.
Since they were.
Then he
freaked out as a human. He's like, oh crap, I killed a rat and I ate and I'm a hawk and oh, I'm so confused. So he decided that he was going
to kill himself.
And he decided to do that at the mall.
Now, this was intense.
Yeah,
because
was cool.
He's a teenager, and what better place?
It was really hard not
yourself.
To laugh.
Yeah, it was.
What better place to kill yourself than
at the mall
when you're like an angsty teenager?
Yeah.
I wonder what she's trying to tell us with that too. Is it?
Yeah, like as he was flying in, she was like pointing out all these stores he flew by, like the Gap and all this stuff. It's like commercial culture.
Wow, the Gap. What a name for a moment like that. So, you know, the gap between Tobias.
You're feeling really philosophical.
I don't know what I'm like freaking out here.
You're like, and then Marco threw a ball that represents everything that was love in Tobias's life, and he threw it, and it hit the glass that was the wall that would have ended his life,
and it shattered.
And it shattered that wall and allowed him
shattered
to break
it
through.
And the shattering. And what do you think of when you think of shattering? You think of the stars in the night sky and all the beauty and the immensity of the night sky
And the power
was
there.
Just thrown away from Tobias.
And he kept flying and,
oh
and he flew away from all his problems. Or maybe Marco just threw a damn ball and it broke the darn window and he flew out the darn window and went into space.
Darn, 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 darn.
Kyle's sorry for his swearing.
He didn't swear.
Seriously.
He said darn.
He looks,
you're imagining things.
Oh, well, then I'm imagining his look of contrition.
Yes.
Anyway.
We have been away from this way too long.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed you guys. I want to thank my parents who helped me get here. And my agent, I couldn't have done it without him. Joe, Chris, Eliza,
and that's all the time we have.
Eliza, you've been great. I couldn't have done it without you. Thank you to all of you out there. This is for you guys.
You forgot to thank the Academy.
Oh,
yeah. Anyway.
Screw.
Anyway, so that's where we're at. The
gosh darn
shattered.
The Academy. They didn't believe in
did
me.
Did you want
to okay,
read?
Okay, I'll read.
Or...
I'll read.
What are you doing?
I can do narration. I gotta talk myself out.
Unfortunately, I did not. Wait, maybe I did. We'll see. It's going to be fun.
Okay, so I think I've gotten all my jitters out now.
Okay, let's do this.
But if something really bad comes up, I have to take it. But we're going to stay on task tonight. It's going
to
be
we're going to try. But actually, I wanted to mention that if somebody wanted to call in before we get going,
yeah, and this would be a great time.
The people that listened to our last show, comment on whether or not you liked us being serious for a little bit. Because, mm-hmm. like, we tend
to... It's actually pretty cool.
We enjoyed it in here because it was really hard not mm-hmm. to laugh, and it's kind of a challenge, and we're big on that. But,
challenge you know, yourself.
We've had a lot of complaints about, you know, us being crazy, and we've also had a lot of compliments. So if people want to be like, hey, it was kind of nice every once in a while, we'll do it again sometime.
No, I'm not.
Anyway, you are, yes, I'm not.
Okay, well, we'll go down. And, yeah.
No.
No, because if we keep it down that low and people call
okay,
in,
no, fine. We're okay, fine. Let's do it.
Matt? Matthew.
Chapter 16.
The next few days were like a long, slow dream. I stayed away from Jake's house. I did not communicate with my friends. I disappeared. I found a place for myself. It was a perfect red-tailed territory. The place where I made my first kill. A nice meadow surrounded by trees.
We'll play
not
that
far off, not far off, there was a marshy area that was good, too. Although, there was another red-tail who had a territory over there, so I couldn't hunt there often. I spent my days hunting. Sometimes I would ride the hot winds and watch the meadow. Sometimes I would sit in a tree and watch till some unwary creature ventured out. Then I would swoop down on it, snatch it up, and kill it. Eat it while the blood was still warm. Days were easier than nights. During the day, I was hunting almost all the time. It keeps you busy because most of the time you miss. It can take quite a few tries before you make a kill. Nights were worse. I couldn't hunt at night. The nights belonged to other predators, mostly the owls. At night, my human mind would surface. The human in my head would show me memories, pictures of human life, pictures of friends. The human in my head was sad, lonely. But the human Tobias really just wanted to sleep. He wanted to disappear and let the hawk rule. He wanted to accept that he was no longer human. Still, at night, I sat on my familiar branch and watched the owls do their silent, deadly work. The human memories would play in my head. But other memories were there, too. I remembered the female hawk, the one who had been in the cage. I knew where her territory was, near a clear lake in the mountains. So one day I flew there, to the mountain lake. I saw her down on a tree branch. She was watching a baby raccoon preparing to go for a kill. She would have to be very hungry to go for a raccoon, no matter how small. Raccoons are very tough, very violent creatures. As I watched, unnoticed by her, she swooped. The raccoon spotted her. A quick dodge left, and the hawk sailed harmlessly past. The baby raccoon ran for the edge of the woods. His mother was there. No hawk was crazy enough to go after a full-grown raccoon. That was not a fight the hawk was going to win. She settled back on her branch. I floated overhead, waiting to see if she would spot me, and waiting to see what she would do when she did notice me. I had to be cautious. She was a female, and females are a third bigger, on average, than males. Suddenly, I saw fast movement in the woods. A chase! It was always kind of exciting watching a kill, even by other species. It heightened my own hunting edge. The prey was running awkwardly on its two legs, running and threading its way through the underbrush. It stumbled and hit the ground hard. It seemed very slow to get up. It ran again. I could hear gasping breath. It was weakening. The prey was squealing, loud, yelping vocalizations. Prey often squeal. The predator moved on two legs also, but these legs were built for greater speed. It had blades growing from its arms. It used these blades to slash the bushes and weeds. It cleared its way through them like a lawnmower chopping down grass. Lawnmower? No, something else. Salad shooter. Yes, that's what Marco called him. Marco. The image came to my head. Short, dark hair. Human. It hit me like a lightning bolt. Suddenly I realized this prey was a human. Why should I care? It was prey. That was more the way it worked. Predator killed prey. No, it was a human being. That was the vocalization. It meant something.
Help! Help me!
The predator was very close. In a few seconds, he would make his kill. The predator was powerful. The predator was swift. Burk Bajir.
Help me! Someone help!
I didn't know how to describe what happened next. It was like my entire world flipped over. Like one minute, it was one thing, one way. Then, boom! It was something totally different. It was like your eyes after a dream.
Opening your eyes.
Opening your eyes after a dream. The prey was a human being. The predator was a Hork-Bajir. This was wrong. Wrong. It had to be stopped. I stopped. A few seconds earlier, I was thinking that no sane hawk would go after a full-grown raccoon. Now I was going after Hork-Bajir. Hork-Bajir compared the raccoons like a nuclear bomb compares to a bow and arrow. It would have to be the eyes. The eyes were the only weak spot. Put that up more.
Try again.
Turn up your volume. On the computer. I rocketed toward the Hork-Bajir. The human slipped and fell forward. Talons forward. The Hork-Bajir was fully focused on his prey. I hit him fast and hard and sailed past. The Hork-Bajir yelled. He clutched at his eyes. The human was up and running again.
Gurgafrash, to me, get in the way. It's Nahrun.
The Hork-Bajir yelled in the strange combination of human and alien speech that they use when working with humans. He was calling for help. I used my momentum to soar up above the treetops. He had plenty of help available. Another Hork-Bajir about 1,000 yards off, and two of the bogus park rangers were near. It was all coming back to me. The fake park rangers, the Hork-Bajir enforcers. This was the lake. A Yerk supply ship must be on its way in. Yerks. Andalites. My friends, the Andalites. Yes, my friends. I remembered now. But this human was not one of them. This human prey was older. A stranger. The freed hawk was watching me. I could almost feel her drawing me toward her. It was like a magnet. She was my kind. She was like me. But the park rangers were in hot pursuit of the human now. The human was nothing like me. Poor, clumsy ground runner that he was. He was just prey. And yet, for some reason, I couldn't let him be prey. I couldn't. Me. Tobias.
Chapter 17.
I landed on the perch outside Rachel's window. It was night. She wasn't asleep. She was reading a book in bed, propped up by several pillows. I fluttered a wing against the glass.
Rachel?
She started. The book went flying. She jumped up and ran to the window, throwing it open.
Tobias?
More or less,
I said wryly. She started to hug me, to put her arms around me, but when she realized that wasn't possible... But then she realized that wasn't possible. Birds aren't exactly made for hugging.
Are you okay? We've all been terrified. Cassie said maybe you were killed or something. There are all kinds of things that can happen. Jake is so depressed.
I'm okay,
I said. I flapped over to her dresser. Now that she was sure I was safe, she started getting mad. It made me smile inwardly. That was Rachel for you.
Tobias, what is the deal with you? Why would you just disappear and leave us all worrying for days?
It's hard to explain,
I said.
I guess the hawk sort of won out over me. Not that it's really that way. I mean, the hawk instincts, they're strong.
I told her about my first kill, about how much it horrified me. I don't know how I expected her to react. She tried to look sympathetic, but I could see it bothered her.
I lost control,
I admitted.
For the last couple of days, I've been living like a hawk. All the way, like a hawk. I think I was starting to forget me. I was starting to lose touch with humans. Then something happened.
What?
She went to check her door and make sure neither of her sisters was nearby.
You know, if you're a human, this would be kind of awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Awkward.
I could hear that the house was quiet.
What happened?
I told her about going to the lake. I told her about the guy being chased by a Hork-Bajir that screamed like a woman.
Fortunately, I can see the terrain better than the Hork-Bajir or those human controller park rangers. I led him away from them. I told him when to hide and when to run.
You talked to him?
I thought spoke, yes. There was no alternative. I couldn't let them catch him. He had seen a Hork-Bajir. They would never let him live.
Rachel looked stunned.
But now he knows about you. And he knows about the Hork-Bajir. What's he going to do? Go tell people he was chased through the woods by an alien monster and rescued by a telepathic bird?
Rachel laughed.
Yeah, good point. People would just think he was insane. Besides, if he started talking openly about the Yerks, they would find him and silence him. Exactly what I explained to him. I think he'll probably keep quiet. He'll try to forget it forever. Forget it ever happened. You saved him,
Rachel said.
I almost didn't,
I admitted.
At first I just saw another predator and his prey. No different from watching the owls at night. No different from what I do myself.
Rachel thought
kill to eat.
Rachel thought about that for a moment.
The Yerks and their slaves aren't killing to eat,
she said.
They are killing to control and dominate. Killing because it's the only way you can eat, because that's the way nature designed you. That's one thing. Killing because you want power or control is evil. I guess you're right,
I said.
I hadn't thought about it that way. What you did, eating, you know, whatever. Well, that's natural for a hawk. Nothing a Hork-Bajir does is natural. They aren't even in control of their own bodies or minds. They are tools of the Yerks, and the Yerks only want power and domination. I know,
I said, but I wasn't totally convinced. Still, it was comforting to be talking to Rachel.
Or human, Tobias,
she told me softly.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Sometimes I just feel so trapped. I want to move my fingers, but I don't have any. I want to speak out loud, but I have no mouth. But I have a mouth that's only good for ripping and tearing.
Rachel looked like she might start crying. It was alarming to me because Rachel isn't a girl who bursts out into tears. Ever.
Anyway, look, I'm sorry I ruined your exhibition at the mall the other day.
She smiled.
What do you mean? It was perfect. I was just starting my routine, and you know how much I hate to have to do public shows like that. You put an end to the whole thing real fast.
I laughed silently.
I can imagine. I hope no one was hurt by the falling glass. No, everything was fine. But what were you going to do if Marco had missed with that baseball? You would have hit the glass awfully hard.
I didn't know what to say. Rachel came closer and stroked my crest with her hand. I made
Shame
the...
on you, man.
I was reading ahead. Talk.
It made the hawk in me uncomfortable, but at the same time, it was similar to preening, which is kind of pleasurable. She stroked his crest, and it was pretty much pleasurable. So did I. From now on, preening is supposed to be considered pleasurable. Just, you know. Yeah, whispered. Oh, yeah. Wow. Uncomfortable?
Oh,
I
terrible.
Think not. Your turn.
What?
What I told you the other day, Tobias. Remember, you're not lost as long as you have Jake and Cassie and me. Right on, Tintins. Even Marco. He came through for you big time. We're your friends. You're not alone.
I think I would have cried then. But hawks can't cry.
No tear glands. The more you know.
I bet they do, but they can't, like, cry. Because how else would they keep their eyes moist? It's not
licking
like
it.
Lick their eyes.
Tear, 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 tear.
Sear.
Where are we at?
Okay, and someday the Andalites will come. Someday.
I said trying to sound confident.
Well, I better go see Jake. The mission is supposed to begin tomorrow. We don't have to go through with that.
Rachel said.
Yes, we do.
I said.
More than ever. I understand that. See, there are human beings all over, trapped in bodies controlled by Yerks. We need some life. Trapped, unable to escape. Rachel and I know how they feel.
Rachel,
I know how they feel. Maybe I can't escape. Maybe I am trapped forever. But if we can free some of those others, maybe... I don't know. Maybe that's what I need to do to stay human.
See, we didn't leave.
That was
close, though.
Cool.
Chapter 18.
Am I doing voices?
I don't know.
I'll do voices.
The next day, we went ahead with the mission. The mission. I flew cover overhead while four gray wolves ran beneath me. We timed it so we would arrive in the early, in the very early. Sorry. We timed. Sorry, it's my. I'm just that. Cannot talk. Is this thing on? Okay. We timed it so we would arrive in the area very early in the morning, many hours before the Yerks would arrive to hunt intruders.
So let me get this straight, Tobias.
Marco said.
You're taking us to a bear cave, as in big grizzly bears, and this is a good thing? Not grizzlies.
Cassie interrupted as she pushed up her metaphysical glasses.
Not in this area. We'd be talking black bears. They're much smaller. Swell. I'm totally reassured. Just a small bear cave. The bears are all long gone,
I said.
There are just a few bears around, and this cave is empty. Trust me. I spied it out yesterday. I've seen raccoons and skunks running in and out of there. They wouldn't be doing that if there were bears. Excuse me, Jake. Did Tobias just say skunks? I must have heard wrong, because only an idiot would think hanging out with skunks is a good idea.
I like how that started out and you weren't sure if it was a girl or not.
I didn't, so I just fluctuated.
I think it's Marco.
Yeah, it was.
It was too sarcastic to be a girl.
We're not going to hang out with skunks,
Jake said patiently.
The skunks don't have to live there, or don't live there,
I said.
They just run in there to get away from predators.
I didn't have to explain anymore. I think everyone guessed how I knew that skunks ran in there to get away from predators.
Look, it's close to the lake, but I don't think the Yerks know about it.
I said.
Sorry, but there wasn't a convenient Marriott hotel where I could get you a room for the night.
Where I could get you a room for the night. Oh, sorry. I just had to make fun.
So that means no room service either?
Marco.
Gosh.
Complained? Asked? Marco asked.
Well, okay. As long as this cave gets cable, the big game's on ESPN tonight.
Oh, Marco, you kidder. I was carrying a tiny nylon pouch that Rachel had put together. It was tan in color, so a casual observer wouldn't notice it and wonder why a red-tailed hawk was carrying luggage. In the sack was a small watch. It weighed almost nothing. There were also some fish hooks, fishing line, and a small lighter. Ooh, they have lighters.
Ooh.
Altogether, it only weighed about 2 ounces, but it did slow me down a little. It made me less aerodynamic. We reached the cave with plenty of time to spare on the 2-hour deadline.
Oh, this looks lovely,
Marco said, looking at the thorns and a scrub brush around the cave entrance.
I haven't really been inside,
I admitted. I landed outside the entrance. The opening to the cave was no more than 2 feet across and about 4 feet high. It was easy for Jake and Rachel and their wolf morphs to leap nimbly through. Unless there really was a bear inside, they would scare off whatever might be in there.
Empty,
Rachel reported.
Nothing in here but a couple of spiders and scared mice. And a scared mouse.
Oh, I decided to try the joke.
Chase him out here. I'm hungry.
Only Marco laughed. The others all acted like I'd said something embarrassing. Maybe I had. Pity points.
Let's morph back.
Marco suggested.
One close call with being trapped as a wolf is plenty for me. I'll go look around,
I said. Sometimes I didn't like being there when they morphed. A few minutes later, they all came out. Marco was complaining as usual.
You know, we really have to figure out how to deal with the shoe situation.
He said, muttered.
Thorns and no shoes? Not a good combination.
The four of them were barefoot and dressed only in their morphing outfits. Leotards for the girls, bike shorts and t-shirts for Jake and Marco.
We need to gather firewood,
Jake said. With his hands to his hips.
Wouldn't hurt to warm that cave up a little before the Yerks get here.
Yeah, because they don't have thermal scanners and they won't pick that kind of stuff up.
Yeah, aliens don't have high-tech stuff like that. No, it's me.
Yeah.
Don't you love it when Jake's all masterful like that?
Rachel teased.
I'm just trying to get us organized.
Jake said.
Defensively.
We
better get started fishing.
Cassie pointed out.
If we don't catch a fish, we're pretty much wasting our time.
The plan was to morph into fish to enter the Yerk ship's water pipes. Of course, in order to morph into something, you first have to acquire it.
Quote, unquote.
Which means you being able to touch it.
Shouldn't be any big problem,
Jake said confidently.
Uh-huh,
Cassie said dryly.
And how many times have you gone fishing? Counting this time? Once.
He laughed. Cassie rolled her eyes.
Typical suburban boy,
she said affectionately.
It isn't all that easy. Then you guys better get started.
I advised.
I'll go look around.
Dude, they have Osprey morphs. Why don't they just have Marco or Cassie morph an Osprey and grab a fish the old-fashioned way?
Because they're stupid. Duh.
Okay, sorry.
Take care of yourself, Tobias.
Rachel called out as I took wing. I watched from on high as they made one failed attempt after another to convince a fish to bite one of our hooks. It seemed ridiculous, but the entire plan was hanging on the question of whether or not we could catch a fish. Ha! That is pretty ridiculous, Tobias. And time was running out. The day wore on. Still no fish. Jake was getting edgy. Rachel was downright cranky. And Marco? Forget Marco.
This is ridiculous!
He raged.
We're four, I mean five, fairly intelligent human beings. And we can't outsmart one fish. That probably has an IQ of four.
Cassie was the only one remaining calm.
Fishing is a matter of skill and luck,
she said placidly.
A smart fisherman learns not to become frustrated.
Jake looked at the little watch we'd brought along.
From what we know, the Yerks still start arriving in an hour to clear the area.
Rachel nodded.
Even if we catch a fish now, we won't have time to test the morph. Maybe we should back off for today,
I suggested.
You really ought to test out the fish morph, you guys. You guys all know how much trouble a morph can be at first.
Jake shook his head firmly.
I don't think so, Tobias. We'd have to wait till we had another day off. Tomorrow's no good because I have stuff with my parents. So does Marco. Which means we'd have to wait a whole week. So we try again next weekend. What's the hurry? The hurry is that the Yerks can't keep coming to this same lake forever. Sooner or later, the level of the water will start dropping from them taking so much. They must use one lake for a while, then move on to another. It could take forever for us to find where they move to next.
It made sense, but that didn't make me feel any better about it.
This is the first water animal any of us have morphed. You don't have any idea what it's going to be like. I know.
Jake snapped.
Look, Tobias, I know it's not exactly ideal.
Ha!
Cassie yelped. She yanked at the line she was holding.
I believe we may have a fishy. Dude, I think she's the Thelma of the group. Anybody agree?
Except, I think it's Velma, actually.
Velma? Sorry. Velma. Everybody knew what I was talking about, right?
Dude, Velma was my favorite character.
Well, yeah, she's funny.
Especially
that,
in, like, the Scooby-Doo, like, the pup named Scooby-Doo, where it's, like, they were much more formulaic than the original Scooby-Doo. So it'd be, like, Velma would say, Jinkies! And everybody would be like, hey, everyone, Velma said jinkies. You know what that means? She's found a clue. And Freddy was like a complete idiot, and he was always like, I think it's red herring. And they're like, Freddy, it's never red herring. And red herring was like this bully kid. And get it? Because he was a red herring, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
It was a great show.
Classic.
The live-action movie? Not so cool.
Anyway, Cassie's Velma. Moving on.
So.
Wait, where am I?
So is Tobias Scooby? By merits of being a hawk?
Yeah, the only non-human in the...
Well, then he's going to start talking like...
So Marco must be Shaggy, because he's kind of the comedic relief.
Yeah.
And then Rachel's got to be...
What's-her-face, the blondie.
Daphne. She was redhead.
And then Jake's going to be... What's-his-face, Fred.
Oh, that doesn't work, because, like, Fred and Daphne?
Yeah.
Then Jake and Rachel? No.
Blast.
It's not perfect.
But we're going to try it anyway.
But the Fred-Daphne relationship was never explicated except in those crappy movies. So, it could be Fred-Velma. I mean...
Never know. Weird. Where are we at? Wow, we kind of digress.
Fishy.
This is the first fishy...
It took just a few seconds to haul in the fish.
Trout!
She said, that's Cassie, looking at it over as it flopped in the shallow water. The hook was poked through its lip. It was about 10 inches long, not very big. Or very
smart.
What,
the hook?
Ow.
Wow.
That's pretty big for
a hook.
A
10-inch hook. I wonder how big the fish was.
The four of them stared blankly at it.
Like, we have to become that?
Marco asked.
I can't do it. I can't do a Shaggy voice. So we're going to drop the whole thing.
Really, Scoob?
Yeah.
Like, wow, man. Do we have to become like, that?
Wow. We have to become that? You try it.
Let me try. Where has it?
Down the bottom.
Like, wow, we have to become that?
No. Like, wow, man, we have to become that?
It's a fish.
I don't think we can do it.
Cassie said.
We've got definite voice talent, but I don't think we can mimic.
I think we've reached our
continue,
limits.
Continue, continue, continue.
It's a fish, Cassie said.
I already said that.
What did you... What did you... What did you expect?
Marco shrugged.
Like, I don't know. Something more like Jaws. this is just a fish, I mean. Right, Scoob?
Right.
We can clean him and eat him and with, like, a lemon juice. And some Scooby snacks. Maybe some fries on the side.
The perfect thing is, Marco was actually talking about cooking the fish while we were doing Shaggy. The others turned and gave him a dirty look. Cassie reached down to the water and took hold of his square. Cassie reached down into the water and took hold of the squirmy gray thing. She concentrated, her eyes closed halfway. She was acquiring it. The fish DNA was being absorbed into Cassie's body. The gift of the Andalite, the curse of the Andalite, the power to morph. This is my gift, this is my curse.
Am I doing narration or continuing voice?
Wait, you've done a lot of reading. Are you going to be okay by the end of the year?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right.
It's fine.
Okay.
And if, well, CJ's working on something amazing right now, so we're going to let him go.
All right.
Right, don't like this plan.
Are we going to stick with this?
Okay. I don't like this plan.
I blurred it out.
Chapter 19, by the way.
Yeah. Is that what you're doing? No, that's the new song. For a second, I thought CJ just wrote this in the studio, and I was like, oh, wow. Kid's got more talent than I gave him credit for. But no, he's still inept.
Jake.
Oh, where's the burn? Oh, sad. Okay, Jake.
Nobody likes you.
Jake.
Jake looked up at me in surprise.
Tobias, you weren't in on the planning right from the start. Look, don't you guys realize how dangerous this could be? I realize,
Marco said.
I realize it plenty, but I thought you were the big gung-ho yurt killer. Suddenly you're afraid? I'm not afraid for me.
I said.
I'll be flying around safely while the four of you go up into the ship.
I'll be flying around.
I'll be flying around.
Oh, no. Tobias is daffing duck.
I can't do that. Oh, wait. Suffer and fuck a tash. Rabbit season!
Wait, that's Sylvester.
He says it too. Rabbit season! I'm not a freak. Cassie
nodded.
It's hard standing by while someone else is risking their life,
she said.
I understand how you feel, but there have been times when you were the one taking risks.
Look, we don't have time to debate this.
Jake said.
We have a plan we've all agreed to. Let's just get on with it before the Yurks show up.
Jake gets peevish when someone...
Word of the week.
Once... nice. Someone questions things after everything has already been decided. Usually it's Marco getting on his nerves.
We'll be okay,
Rachel said confidently. Rachel took the fish in her hand. The fish went limp as usual. Rachel has that effect. While the acquiring was happening, suddenly I couldn't watch anymore. I just had a flash of memory, watching the four of them straining to... Oh, God, don't... You guys, don't do this.
He didn't have flash memory. That wouldn't come out for a couple of years.
Wow. Had a flash of memory, watching the four of them straining to get out of their wolf bodies. What if they were trapped in fish morph? Ugh. The idea of being trapped was still not something any of them really understood. I mean, they knew it had happened to me, but people are funny. They never think something bad will happen to them. I knew it could happen. And to be trapped as a fish, it made me sick just thinking about it. The rest of your life in a body of a fish, being trapped in a hawk body seemed downright pleasant by comparison.
I'm going
to go upstairs and see if anyone's coming,
I said. I caught a small breeze and flapped hard to clear the treetops. It was tough work gaining enough altitude to get a good view of the area. It was mostly dead air all around, but I was glad for the workout. It took my mind off imagining what life would be like if my only friends in the world were trapped as fish in a mountain lake. I would have laughed if it weren't so serious. I mean, come on. How many kids have to worry about all their friends becoming fish?
Oh, I do.
Well, yeah, me too, but I mean, we're different.
That's true.
Life had definitely gotten strange since that night when we saw the Andalite landing in the construction site. I circled higher and higher till I could see the entire lake and most of the surrounding area. No park rangers. Yet. I wondered if Jake was right, and maybe the Yerks would move on to another lake. Maybe they had already. Then, there, way down below, on a branch, the hawk. The female I had freed from captivity. She was watching me. I could see her eyes follow me across the sky. In part, I knew she was merely watching me for the simple reason that I was in her territory. Hawks are defensive about their territory. They don't want strangers coming and grabbing all the best prey. But I had the feeling that there was something more going on. Look at bow, look at the bow. She wanted me to join her.
Oh, I bet she did.
I don't know how I knew that, but...
What?
But I did. No, I didn't. You were the one that was supposed to give it to me so you could write stuff in the studio, but you never did. I caught myself. I'm getting better. They don't want... nice reference. They don't want strangers coming and grabbing all the best prey. But I had the feeling there was something more there. She wanted me to join her. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I knew that, but I did. She wanted me to fly down to her.
Like an eagle.
But I'm stubborn. I wanted her to fly up to me. Like an eagle. And so we'll never touch.
I ever. Think he was just shy. You know, like, oh, she's got to make the first move. But,
I think it's kind of like that mathematical situation where if you take half a step closer to somebody, you'll never reach them. So it's a really depressing world.
So true.
So he'll take a flight and a half, and she'll half flight towards him, and then they'll just never reach each other. And it'll be sad, and he'll have to go to Rachel as second choice, his silver medal.
But she'll be like, I don't want to be your second choice.
Silver medal.
And then you won't get anything.
At all. Wow.
This is really
good. Anyway, moving on. Some people think hawks mate for just a season. Some people think they mate for life. And I don't really know which is true.
Having never mated myself.
One thing I knew for sure, I wasn't ready to settle down with anyone. No one. Especially not a hawk. And yet, there was this feeling in me like I belonged with her. I looked away. I would be glad when this mission was over, and I no longer had to come here to her territory. She confused me.
That's interesting. An awkward middle school moment, but for a hawk.
Outside of middle school.
Well, he's middle school age.
Another definition of awkward. Suddenly, movement! I had let myself be distracted. Trucks, jeeps... They were rolling down the road. They were within a mile and moving fast. I looked frantically for my friends. There they were. I shrugged off the wind beneath my wings. I dropped towards them like a bullet.
Freaking bullet.
Hey, here they come.
I cried.
Get to the cave.
They ran for the cave. But it was harder to crawl inside in their human bodies. Their wolves' thick pelts had protected them against the scratches and tears of the bushes. See, if CJ wasn't working on stuff, he would have realized that he should have been doing something important.
I'm working on the ambient
stuff. Anyway, that was a helicopter. That was a helicopter and picking on CJ for your enjoyment. Helicopters skimming above the trees. Too fast. My friends were still struggling to make it into the shelter of the cave. One of the helicopters was on a straight line to them. A beeline, in fact.
Oh, man.
I muttered. I still had a lot of... Wow, this is awesome. I still had a lot of... You're going to run out of breath, I think. And so I'm just going to keep talking instead of reading. Still, I had a lot of my speed from the dive. I flapped hard. powering up to maximum speed. Straight for the helicopter. Straight at it. I could see the pilot, a human controller. Beside him sat a Hork Bajir. Straight at them. The chopper was doing 90. I was doing a little less. The distance between me and the chopper's windshield shortened very fast. They weren't going to pull up.
Chapter 20. The sounds of the rotor were a roar. They were not going to pull up. We were going to hit. But then a flicker of the pilot's eyes, a twitch of his hand on the control stick. I cranked right. The helicopter cranked left. They just played chicken. Yeah. It blew past me like a tornado. The backwash of the rotors caught me and tumbled me through the air.
I don't think you're coming up on the mics. Not you, him.
Yeah. I fell upside down, folded my wings, flared my tail, and spun around. I opened my wings and swooped neatly between two trees. I banked left and flew over the cave. Rachel was the last one, and she was still clearly visible. The helicopter would have almost certainly have seen her.
Worthy of Top Gun right there. Wow.
I watched till she was safely inside.
Okay, you guys. Whew. I don't think anyone saw you, but be cool till I tell you it's time.
They couldn't answer, of course. They were still fully human. So they could hear my thought speech, but not respond in kind.
Liar! First book, you proved yourself wrong, K.A. Ha ha ha!
Thank you, Kyle.
Moving on.
The Yerks went through their familiar routine. They checked all the sources and cross-referenced... cross-referenced all their T's and signed all their I's on the dotted line. Yeah.
Funny!
The phony park rangers fanned out around the lake with automatic weapons ready. The helicopters buzzed around until they decided the area is free of witnesses, except for the cave.
Oh my god.
The helicopters landed and the Hork Bajir jumped out. They seemed extra careful. Probably Visser 3 had given them all kinds of grief for the guy I had helped to escape the day before. Visser 3 was not a creature you wanted mad at, Joe. Then I felt it, the emptiness in the sky, the sense of something monstrously huge moving slowly through the air.
It was above me.
Slowly it appeared, shimmering into reality like some kind of magic trick. You can never get used to how big that thing was. It felt like someone was hanging a small moon over your head.
Little to the right, little to the left. No, up a little. No, 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 back down. Oh, that's good.
That'll do.
I flew out from under it, over closer to the cave.
It's here,
I announced.
Nice, I was thinking that.
That same inflection. From behind the truck came the usual guard of bug fighters. Only instead of two bug fighters, there were four. The Yerks were definitely nervous this time. Two of the bug fighters remained on patrol. The other two landed in the clearing beside the helicopters. Why? Why the extra security? Was it just because of the guy had helped to escape? I felt something new in the air above the hovering truck ship. Another cloaked ship. Not as large.
Harvey. What?
Harvey.
Another cloaked ship. Not as large, but from that emptiness in the sky, I felt a dread that I had felt before. The cloak shimmered out, and a ship appeared, black within black. An outthrust spear, razor-edged. I had seen this ship before. The Blade Ship. I had seen it first at the construction site where the Andalite had been murdered while we cried helplessly. No wonder the Yerks were nervous. The Blade Ship lowered toward the landing area. The Hork Bajir on the ground and the park rangers were in a frenzy now, searching the wood as if their lives depended upon it. Someone had fired a Dracon beam. I looked and saw a deer in mid-leap, sizzle, and disappear. It's interesting because in the early books, when a Dracon beam hits something, it like goes poof. But in later books, as we learn, Dracon beams just kind of burn.
Like now, for those that have played, like, Star Wars Jedi Academy or anything like that, you know when you shoot somebody with a sniper rifle at full power and they, like, disintegrate and, like, disappear from where you shot outward? And, like, you know, that's how I picture it, just so you know.
But in later books...
Only nerds know that.
In later books, it's like lasers more than that kind of stuff. Yeah, they just suffer burns.
Really?
Yeah.
So, like, she, like, changes her mind.
Yeah.
She's like, well, that's just too powerful. I want people to hurt.
Well, I mean, there's only so many times you can have them fighting with Dracon beams and not hitting anything. Yeah. You know? It's like,
it's kind of like Star Wars with another Star Wars reference.
With the stormtroopers,
as we speak. Yeah, the stormtroopers.
Like,
why can't they shoot?
They're
the elite soldiers of the galaxy, and they can't hit one guy standing in the middle of a docking bay shooting at this little tiny little connector thing that turns on the doorway to stop Darth Vader from killing everyone. I mean, come on, guys. Where's your training? Shoot the little...
So instead of like in Star Wars with the sniper rifle, it's like in the movies where when you shoot somebody with a blaster, they just get a hole.
And like, that kind of stings.
A lot.
No wonder. Wait, no. We're past that.
So the deer sizzled in mid-leap and disappeared. The Yerks were shooting anything that moved. The doors of the blade ship opened.
Yay!
A phone call! They're probably complaining.
That button.
Hi, you're on.
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama?
Uncensored.
Hello.
Okay. Kyle, don't feel bad and nerdy, because I get all the Star Wars jokes, too. Nice. I get all those references.
Well, that's good. That makes me feel like you're my brother or something.
Don't feel nerdy.
Okay.
I get it.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
Bye, Tim. Those of you who are wondering, the phones do work.
Yeah, so please keep calling us. We like it, kind of.
Use the phones, Luke.
Or Leia, or girls, or boys. Or
Han. Or you know, Wookiees.
Wookiees can call, but we won't understand. Nice. I'd join in, but I've got nothing.
Yeah, we'll just yell at you about hyperspanners and hang up.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm feeling nerdy. No wonder the Yerks were nervous. Deer sizzled. The doors of the blade ship opened. More Hork-Bajir poured out. Dracon beams leveled. Behind them came a pair of taxons, slithering and shimming on their needle legs, undulating their gross caterpillar bodies. And last, he stepped out. Dainty and light hooves. Deadly andalite tail, like a scorpion's. The mouthless andalite face. The two small andalite arms with too many fingers. He's popping them, you know. Thank you, Kyle. The two mobile eyes mounted on antler-like stalks that turn this way and that, always searching, always searching, always watching. So that the large main eyes could focus on one thing at a time. An andalite body. But not an Andalite mind. For in that Andalite body lived a Yerk, the only Andalite controller, the only Yerk ever to enslave an Andalite. And thus... bug.
Cool.
And thus...
Oh, the window's open. Wow.
Yeah. And thus the only Yerk to have the power to morph. I dropped down into the trees. I waited till...
We still have ships going on right now.
No, nothing's happening.
Yeah, but do we have
are we
at the Yerk base?
Well, there are two bug fighters, so
but,
I guess you could.
Wait, no.
The big ship there yet?
Yeah, the blade ship's already there.
Have you not been listening?
No, I've been working on this.
So we're this is like an. Oh, wow. Do you have it on repeat? Pause it, we got a phone call. Are you pausing?
Hello?
It? Hello?
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 I turned it on. Did you turn it on? Hello? Hello, hello.
Hello?
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 Did you turn it off?
I think Tim called in again.
Tim, did you call in again? Tim!
Dude, Tim's a phantom caller.
No, I don't think it is. Somebody else had music on.
Ooh. Yeah, but Tim... had music in the background
just
when he called in.
Get this formatted so you can put it on loop and in Winamp. Well, I'd rather you just.
It's back it. On.
Oh, we're back on?
Oh.
All right. Hello?
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Hello?
Uncensored.
Hi. Hello?
I heard it.
Yeah, so did I. I heard a hi. Oh my gosh. Are you there? Are you there? Oh, we keep losing her. It's somebody important.
All right,
I can just feel it.
Whoever it is, just like keep plan trying. Ahead of time what you're gonna say, and we'll shut up when you call in.
Yeah.
All right.
Just plan what you're gonna say and shut up, and we'll. I mean, say
we'll
it,
shut
and
up.
We'll shut up. Don't worry about it.
All right. Okay. I dropped down into the trees. I waited till a patrolling Hork-Bajir had walked past the cave where my friends hid. When I was sure no one would see, I fluttered down and into the cave, scraping the bushes on either side.
Great. Sorry. Tobias, is that you?
Jake whispered.
Yes. What are you doing here? That's not the plan. Forget the plan. He's here.
No one asked who. They all knew from the way I had said it. He was here. Fisser 3.
Dum, 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 dum.
Chapter 21.
What is he doing here?
Cassie.
What is he doing here?
I'll do voices.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah, I'll just keep doing voices.
Oh.
Just sec. I need to put this on repeat.
Oh, way to go.
Sorry.
It's right here.
Where?
This button.
Oh, that button. And go.
Okay. What is he doing here?
Cassie asked in a low, frightened whisper.
I guess he just came to oversee this trip. Maybe it was because they let that guy get away. He's here to kick butt on his boys,
Marco said, trying to sound tough.
They screwed up, and now he's here to make sure they don't do it again.
Marco tried to beat hip-hop there for a sec. Didn't work out.
Yo.
It doesn't really matter why he's here.
Martin, I pointed out.
He's here, and there are extra Hork-Bajir, and the whole crowd is way nervous. One of the Hork-Bajirs Drakon'd a deer that just happened to be walking by.
A deer?
Cassie cried.
Those stupid jerks. Deer never hurt anyone.
That was Bambi's father.
Don't worry, boy. I will train you. Come with me into the wild. Never mind. The plan was for you to sneak down to the water, morph as soon as you got there, and head out for the ship's water intake pipe.
I reminded them.
It was always a dangerous plan, but now it's impossible. Four of you walking down to the water, then morphing? That's not going to happen. Not as alert as these guys are now. No, the Visser's hanging around.
Marco agreed.
I disagree.
It was Rachel.
I think we should still try this. Look, if we pull this off, we have managed to get inside the ship and disable the cloaking device while they're over the city. This whole thing will be over.
We're fine.
No, we're not. It's
they're in a cave. Jeez, it should be quieter, and then it gets louder when they get out.
Good call. I thought you had planned that. Come on, CJ.
Sorry.
Anyway, where were we?
Jake jumped in to support her.
We've always said if there was just some way to show the world what was that? Sorry. What was happening? Well, this is the way. This would be way too big for the controllers to cover up. I don't care who they are. Even if the mayor and the governor and the entire police force were controllers, they couldn't cover something like this up. Jake, you're not listening. I'm telling you, there is no way you four can cruise down to the lake. You'll be dead before you take five steps.
For a while, no one spoke. It was Cassie who finally broke the sentence. Silence.
There may be...
Yep.
There may be a way,
she said.
See, a fish can survive out of water for a couple of minutes. And the fish we're morphing is small...
She looked at me.
Small enough for a red-tailed hawk to carry.
Well, that got everyone's attention. I can tell you that.
Excuse me?
Marco shrilled.
Are you saying you want to just morph into a fish, but to morph into a fish out of water and then be carried through the air by a bird?
Cassie bit her lip.
I'm just saying it could work. It could work.
It would work.
Oh, it would work.
Jake said confidently.
You're right, it would work.
He and Rachel exchanged a slightly insane look that said,
okay, let's try it.
Yeah.
No way.
I said,
you guys are crazy. No offense, but this raises the danger level way beyond what I was, what it was to start with.
In other words, off the map of weirdness.
Off the map.
I know it's dangerous, but
Jake,
we...
Jake said.
But we may never get a chance this good.
Marco whined.
I argued.
But in the end, it was 3-2. Besides, Jake was right. We had a chance to seriously mess up the Yerks. I have watched Marco morph into a gorilla. Rachel became an elephant and a shrew and a cat. Cassie became a horse. Cassie become a horse. And Jake become a tiger and a flea. Man, that was weird. But this was the first time anyone had tried morphing into an animal that lived in water. Cassie insisted on going first.
It's my idea,
she pointed out. She did not point out that she was also the best morpher.
If you feel like you're suffocating, you have to back out of the morph,
Jake told her. He took her hand.
Are you listening to me? You have to back out of it. Out if it gets bad.
Awkward moment.
You can't pass out halfway into a morph.
Cassie smiled.
I will. Don't worry about me.
Hold on.
CJ's closing.
Drink it in. Drink it in. She closed her eyes and began to concentrate. I told you that Cassie's always the best at controlling a morph. She has an almost artistic talent where she can make it all look kind of cool and not so gross. But not this time. As I watched, her hair disappeared completely. Her skin began to harden, like it was coated with varnish or something. Like she had been dipped in clear plastic. Her eyes swung around to the side of her head. Her face bulged out in a huge mouth that gaped and seemed to be blowing invisible bubbles. As this happened, she was shrinking, but not fast enough. I could still see her every nightmare change in her body. The way her legs shriveled up, smaller and smaller, till her legless body fell to the ground. From her lower back, her body stretched out, elongated.
Ugh!
Rachel cried.
Wow, that was a doodly ugh.
A tail had just suddenly sprouted from Cassie's behind. A fish tail. Now her varnished-looking skin cracked and split into a million scales. Her ears were gone, her arms shriveling. She was no more than 2 feet long, lying helpless, a monster on the floor of the cave.
So far I'm fine,
she said.
Still...
But her thought speak was shaky.
Still breathing with my lungs.
But at that moment, two slits appeared in her necks. Gills. She cried.
Cassie, pull out of it!
Jake cried in an urgent whisper.
Wow, that was a loud whisper.
Cassie, pull out of it!
No, no, I'm almost done. Tobias!
I'm ready. I say grimly.
Keep going.
She was tiny now, less than a foot long. All that was left of her human body. What's so funny?
She was Cassie tiny now, might less than a foot long.
Oh. Shame upon you. All that was left of her human body were two very tiny doll hands. They made little fins. Cassie flopped wildly. Her mouth gasped silently.
Go!
Jake said. I closed careful talons around Cassie's squirming fish body, aimed for the small sliver of sky that I could see through the cave's opening, and flapped my powerful wings. I burst out of the cave into fresh air.
Are you okay, Cassie? Fish, mind. Panicky. Water. Water now. Hang in there. You've been through this before. You know how it is when you first go into a morph. You have to get control of the fish's instincts. Water. Water. I can't breathe.
I was about 10 feet up, racing for the water's edge. Suddenly below me, a harpazier. I doubted that. Sorry. Oh, yes, he did look up. He looked up and saw me, a bird with a fish in his talons. I doubted the harpazier would realize that red tails don't catch fish. At least, I hoped he wouldn't. I swooped down over the water. Oh, we're out of the cave now.
I turned it up.
Not too much. You didn't turn it
up. You have to realize that we turned our voices down, so okay. Okay, fine.
I swooped down over the water. A huge Yerk ship was just lowering its intake pipes into the water. I dropped behind a stand of trees that hugged the shoreline.
Get ready,
I warned Cassie. I let her go like one of those old World War II planes dropping its torpedo. She hit the water with a small splash.
Are you all right?
No answer.
Cassie, I said, are you all right? Actually, technically, he asked. But who's counting?
Yeah, she said at last.
I'm here. Are you dealing with the fish okay?
Again.
No answer, then.
Whoa, cool. I'm underwater?
I relaxed.
Yes, you sure are underwater.
I said with a laugh.
I was scared.
She admitted.
I know this sounds crazy, but I just keep seeing myself fried with a wedge of lemon and some tartar sauce.
Chapter 22.
Jake was next. He morphed and I flew him over the heads of two patrolling park rangers. He did not even seem to notice me. Then Marco. When I exited the cave with him, I practically ran into a big Hork Bajir. He didn't take any notice of me either. Cassie's plan was working. Even with all the controllers on maximum alert, it never occurred to them that their enemy might be a bird with a fish in its talons. Four times.
And the same bird that...
Yeah, same bird.
Human get away.
And the same bird that almost attacked the helicopter.
Not that bright.
Back in the cave, it was just Rachel.
Oh, hold on a second.
What'd you do?
Hi, Matt. Just a second. Hey, Kyle, what are we listening to?
Oh, we're listening to KDUP. .up.edu.
Or KDP, 1580 AM, the sound of Portland. We're all you need.
Yeah, pretty much.
We really are.
You could call in at 503-943-7121. That's 503-943-7121. If I could say what that spells, I would, but I suck at text messaging. The extension is 7121
for
those that are on campus. So.
And hey, if you want to get in touch with us online, you can check us out at the Facebook group, Animorph, the radio drama. But you can also check us out, send us an email. On
it's dead.
www.animorph. No. If you want to send us an email, you can call us at animorph_radio@yahoo.com. And you can start checking us out on the web, although it's not quite up and running as well as we want it to be, at www.animorphs-uncensored.com.
We're actually ready for a break. Do we want to jump into the break?
Why don't we go for a break?
And so, I mean, we're going to play some music, and this time we're not going to be, stopping.
Matt, get in here.
So we may actually come back and be, rocking this last book. I mean, we want to get done with it as much as you guys want us to get done with it so we can leave. So, while CJ gets this going, I'm just going to talk all sexy-like and, like normal. There we go.
And we're on.
No, not yet. We need another PSA.
Okay, we're going to play another PSA. I'm joking.
Yeah, Matt's trying to figure out what's wrong with the phone, so if you've been trying to call or anything like that,
we apologize.
I mean, we don't want you guys to get discouraged and never call again, but he's in the process of trying to figure that out, and,
let's give him a hand. Guys, wait. Clap if you want it to work. Clap to get the phones to work. Clap!
Harder, Peter, harder!
Clap!
Okay, I'm clapping. I'm clapping.
Come on, Tink. I mean, phones.
All right. So we've decided that we're gonna try and be serious again, like we did last time. Because we want to get done with this book.
If there's anybody out there, please try calling the request line. I think I fixed it, but I could be wrong.
Okay, so the clapping might have worked, and so if you want to call in, because we need it. I think, Tim, you're listening, so be cool.
Okay.
So we're going to be serious.
We're already on chapter 22. We started halfway through. Yeah, so far, so good.
What? You just... Wow, this is... Oh, I said.
Hey!
Hello.
You're on Animorphs?
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
Mostly.
Oh.
I don't... Weird. What? We're gonna just hang up.
Well, keep trying, people. Keep trying. Oh, yep.
All right.
Hello?
You're on radio drama.
We hope.
Whoa.
Did you hear that?
Same thing that happened last time.
Yeah.
So that's.
Oh!
Alright. Try it now.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Anybody there?
No! I feel so bad right now. We love you, people.
Alright, so that's the extent of our listeners.
Okay, well, we're gonna give Matt another 5 minutes or so to try and work something out, and then we'll have people trying to call again.
Yeah.
It'll be just kind of an ongoing thing, but.
I guess.
Need to get some reading done.
Yeah, we need to try and get this book done, and we've got like 4 or 5 chapters to finish in less than 45 minutes.
We can do it.
Dang it.
And
okay.
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama.
Uncensored.
We hope.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Works.
Hello?
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 Yeah, we picked up. We picked up. They can't hear us. It's like we're dead.
Quiet. Hello?
No, she doesn't know if we've answered. I don't think we're coming in.
She doesn't? Hello?
Whoa.
Hello? No!
Oh!
Okay.
The next one I'm going to pick up on the phone.
On the phone. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
And then
so
we'll just relay. We'll just relay them.
This is so much fun. It's like we're ghosts. And so we're like, hello. We're trying to reach you.
Come back. We love you.
We do. We love our listeners. Oh. Anyway.
Wait, 2 PSS?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, we did.
Okay.
Okay, and we're on chapter 22. Yeah, I guess so. Are you nervous? I'd have to go crazy not to be nervous. Oh, well, here goes.
She started to morph. I'd seen 3 others do it now, so it wasn't a surprise to me. But it was still horrifying to watch a friend, someone you cared about, twist and deform and mutate before your eyes.
But if it wasn't someone you didn't care about, sorry.
Serious.
Okay.
I don't think any of us will ever get used to morphing. Maybe the Andalites are used to it. I don't know. But I'll bet it creeps them out, too, when they have to change. I looked away as Rachel began to get strange and hideous. She was almost completely fish when it happened. Crash! Crash! Someone was forcing their way through the bushes at the mouth of the cave.
A frog! Neath there!
Okay, let's,
A Hork-Bajir!
She's on the radio.
No, she's sort of. Not.
You're not actually on the radio. I'm holding the phone right now. So, is this working okay?
We paused so he could talk off the air.
Yeah.
Let's keep jogging.
Okay.
Who is it that called in?
Yeah, who is it?
Thank you to whoever this is that's not on the air.
Yeah, we love you. Matt!
Where are you, Adam?
Who is it?
Who is it?
University of California somewhere?
Oh!
We're very excited to hear from somebody who isn't, like, directly related to us or from UP campus.
Yeah!
So, all right, we're going to hold you up to the mic real quick, so say something memorable.
Yes.
That's the wrong...
Wrong. That's...
Ah!
Say it again!
No, it's this side!
No, yes, it is.
Okay, did you say something?
I didn't hear it.
Oh, that's fine. Well, hi. My name's Kyle. I'm joking. I'm sorry. We would have really liked to have you on the air so that we could prove this to all our other listeners, but thanks for calling.
This person is really real.
I want to talk to them.
Iris. Oh, sorry. My other co-host wants to say hi, too.
Yes. Hello. Hi. This is CJ. How are you? Are you enjoying the show? Well, that's good.
Oh, whoa. No. That worked.
Huh? Yeah, I know. We're very excited about that. That's pretty awesome. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for calling. Do you enjoy the show? How did you hear about us? Yeah, well, we like to think we're cool, even though some people don't. But hey, I think we're cool.
We're semi-cool.
Yeah. So how did you hear about us? Cool. Excellent. Well, that's awesome. Tell your friends about us down there, and thanks for listening in. Well, we're out there. We're out there.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask
you
about. How come you guys decided to start doing this?
Well, the history behind Animorphs, the radio drama, Uncensored. Kyle and I were what? Oh, well, the history behind the radio drama, Uncensored, Animorphs, the radio drama, Uncensored. That's what we're calling ourselves, is that... Kyle, my fellow co-host, and Matthew and I were discussing one day, I don't know how we got on this, but we were discussing one day how much we enjoyed old books and stuff. I don't know. We were reliving our childhood, and we were like, hey, did you ever read The Animorphs? And we were like, well, yeah, those were awesome books. And then we found out that that they actually finished them, because all of us actually – never ended up being able to finish them because we just ended up not reading the rest of them for some reason.
They weren't cool.
And well, yeah, they were cool. Huh? No, that's what actually we started doing, because we found out, and you can't give it away, but we found out that one of the characters in the end apparently dies, and it becomes very, very dramatic in the end. So we were like, we have to know this. So we decided we're going to start, huh? No, we do not know who it is yet. So
if you know, don't say
it. Don't say it, because I'm pretty sure that you probably know. Yeah. So
we are out there in numbers.
Yes. So we're very excited about this. That's so we decided we're going to read them all over again together. Website. Oh, yes. And there's a website that we're working on right now, actually. This is just as far as we've gotten. We're getting a lot better at and quicker at reading through the book. So.
Not today.
Not today, but yeah, we're having a lot of fun, so.
Okay, well, I commend you guys. There needs to be more
Animorphs
love.
Yeah, there it is.
There does.
Oh, yes, there does. Because it's, it's just, they're so awesome.
Yeah, that's the one that came out. I mean, when they were coming out, we were all in middle school, and this is how old we all are.
This is from California. It's like speaking to outer space.
Yeah. well, oh, well, give us a call back in. Try back next week, because, I mean, hopefully the phones will work, and we'd love to have you on the air giving us your input, because I think we'll consider you one of our Animorphs experts.
Outside sources.
One of our experts on... they're awesome. They're awesome. Okay, well, we got to get back to reading them, because we're hoping to finish book 3 tonight, so... And okay, well, thank you very much for calling. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How well did that pick up on the mic?
Pretty well.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Aha.
That's awesome!
Oh, you see that? Oh,
sorry,
my goodness!
Hello?
You're on.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey. I have a question.
Uh-huh?
Could you please turn up the volume, because you can't hear anybody who does.
Oh, sorry. Well, we were talking to a lady from California.
Well, you know what? You can fix that right about now.
The what?
You can fix that right about now.
Okay.
And, I have a thing. CJ, happy birthday in like,
what is this?
47 minutes. 37 minutes.
Who is this?
Wow, that was perfectly synchronized with our clock.
Hi, guys.
Who is this?
Guess who?
Allie. I'm going to say Allie.
Maria's bubble shop. I'm going to help you.
What? I don't know.
Maria's bubble shop. I'm going to help you.
Is it Pam?
Huh?
Is it Pam?
No.
All right, well.
I am so
thanks
confused.
For calling. We got to move on in this book.
I want to finish this tonight.
Yeah, we got to
finish
it tonight.
Give me my birthday present. Let me finish this book.
I think they hung up. Did you hang up?
We're hanging up on them.
Yay!
Okay.
We figured out how to...
Seriously?
We have bypassed the phones,
yes,
I think.
And seriously, that call from California
Iris. Made me cry.
Iris. It was Iris. Her name was Iris.
Iris was her name.
Iris was her name.
Let's clap for Iris.
Woo!
Yeah! Oh, man, that's awesome. Oh, God!
Moving on! All right.
Oh!
Try not to call, because we want to finish this book.
Unless you're from, you know, someplace
Delaware.
Other than...
Delaware would be cool.
So I spent all that time fixing the phones just so that people won't call. All right, let's go.
No. Well, I don't know if we really fixed them. All right. Not. We kind of fixed them. And,
let's do this.
Crash.
Someone was forcing their way through the bushes at the mouth of the cave.
Evrock, neath there.
A Hork-Bajir. Oh, sorry.
Yes, I see it. A human voice said grumpily.
You know, these human bodies aren't blind. Just because you're a Hork-Bajir, don't get delusions. Use those blades of yours to hack some of those thorns out of the way.
I heard a sound like fast machetes slicing away the vines and thorns. Better
not find anything in here,
the human controller said.
The Visser will do to you whatever was done to that poor fool yesterday who let the human escape.
I looked at Rachel. It was too late for her to morph back.
You're on Animorphs. Sorry. Oh, I hate you.
We don't press buttons. I'm going to move this.
Oh, you hear that?
Easy.
We okay. Have... what's...
Oh, yeah.
I looked back at Rachel. It was too late for her to morph back. What's going on?
What is going on?
She asked.
She asked.
Yerks, a human controller in a Hork-Bajir right outside the cave. Matthew.
Eh?
Go in for a
Go in for your puny buddy.
This was your sector to check. You didn't even notice this cave. Keep getting on my nerves and I'll tell him.
He go freak here and eat your locust.
Suddenly, a human head appeared, followed by shoulders. He was wearing a park ranger's outfit.
We have to make a break for it,
I told Rachel.
Here they come. Yeah, there's a cave in here, all right. There's some kind of a bird.
I grabbed Rachel, now fully in fish morph, but the human controller blocked the narrow entrance. Well, I thought, it worked with a helicopter. With a rush of wings, I flew right at his face.
What the?
He fell back, beating at the air. I scraped past him. The Hork-Bajir slashed at the air with one of his wrist blades. He shaved an inch off my tail.
Jerk!
But I was in the air now, and moving faster. Only it was hard with Rachel. The weight of a fish is more than a red tail can carry, easily. And I had already carried 3. I was tired. Fortunately, I was also very scared. Fear can make you strong sometimes. A Dracon beam sizzled the air above me. Unfortunately, the Hork-Bajir, who had fired the Dracon beam, did not stop when it buzzed by me. No, the Dracon beam hit the underside of the vast truck ship. A small,
yes!
Neat, round hole appeared in the bottom of the ship.
Oh.
It was too small to amount to anything. But suddenly, the Hork-Bajir lost his interest in me.
Fool!
The human controller cried.
Visser 3 will have your head for dinner!
Don't you think I can't? I cannot!
While they were busy panicking, I dropped Rachel into the water with the others.
Good work, Tobias,
Jake said.
Be careful up there, my friend.
Be careful up there, my friend.
You too,
I said.
Good luck, you guys.
I could just barely see them, a small school of fish in the shallows. They swarm off and disappear.
They swam off.
They swam off and disappeared into deeper water. I'm just so excited from that phone call.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
As
I've told you, there are limits to how far thought speech can reach. We don't really know what those limits are, but I wanted to stay as close to them as I dared, in case they needed me. Not that there was much that I could do to help someone underwater. I didn't want to stay right over them. I figured that would look suspicious to anyone on shore. It was hard to figure out what to do. The monstrous bulk of the ship was overhead, leaving only a few feet open above the surface of the water. I decided I had to chance it. I flew under the ship, skimming the dappled water below, and practically scraping the metal belly of the ship above me. It was a very difficult flight. I had to stay almost totally level. I couldn't rise or fall by more than a couple of feet.
You guys still okay? Tobias, I can't believe you're still thought speech with that whole ship between us.
Rachel said. I guess I could have told her the truth, that I was within a few feet of them. But then Jake would have just gotten all mad and told me not to take stupid risks. I figured that between the time it had taken through the entire morphing process and carrying them one at a time to the water, plus now the time spent swimming out to the big intake pipe, Cassie had been in morph just over a half an hour. Jake had 10 minutes more, then Marco, and Rachel.
Collated. What are you guys doing now?
I asked.
We're looking at the bottom of this intake pipe. There's tremendous suction.
Rachel reported.
I'll go first and look around, see what's what.
Jake announced.
Here goes. Well, man, woo, yeah! Jake, are you okay?
Jesse crowd.
What a rush. They should have a water slide like that at the gardens. It's like being sucked up a straw by a giant. Cool.
Rachel said.
I'm next. No, let me go look around first. I seem to be some kind of big tank. It's not very deep, at least not yet. It's filling up with these lame fish eyes. I can't see beyond the surface of the water very well. But I think up at the ceiling there's an opening, like a grate or something. Up on the ceiling? How are we going to get up there?
Marco asked.
Well, I think if they fill this whole tank, we'll be near the top eventually. We should be able to morph to human, let ourselves out, then morph into something more dangerous than our human bodies. Excuse me,
Marco said.
But does anyone else ever stop to realize that some of the things we talk about doing are totally insane? What? Turning into fish so we can be carried by a hawk and let ourselves be sucked up the pipe of an alien spaceship so that we can then turn into tigers and gorillas and whatever and overpower the creepy aliens?
Rachel said.
You ruined it.
Sorry.
Is that what you mean by insane? That's it exactly. Yep.
Rachel said.
It is insane. Well, okay.
Marco said.
As long as we all know we're nuts. Let's do it.
Yay! Let's do it.
Sorry.
Chapter
23. There was nothing to do but wait. Wait while the water level inside the ship rose and carried my friends toward the top of the chamber, up to where the grate was. I could not maintain my level flight beneath the ship any longer. I said goodbye to my friends and zoomed out the far side. The open air was a blessing. I soared high on a nice thermal pattern created by the ship itself. I rose high up and over the top of the ship. The park rangers were all around on the ground. The helicopters and two of the bug fighters were still parked on the ground in the little clearing. The blade ship was there, too. Two other bug fighters continued zipping around a treetop level. While I watched, they brought the Hork-Bajir who had carelessly fired the Draken beam. They dragged him before Visser 3. We'd gotten so we thought of the Hork-Bajir as these totally fearless, deadly monsters. But this Hork-Bajir was not looking very brave. He collapsed on the ground before Visser 3. I almost felt sorry for him. It was one of the terrible things about our battle against the Yerks. See, our enemy was just the Yerk slug that lived in the heads of controllers. That Hork-Bajir may have been made a controller totally against his will. He had lost his freedom to the Yerk in his head. Now he was about to lose his life for something that he had no real control over. I couldn't hear what was happening down on the ground, but I could see. My hawk eyes could see far too well. I turned away. I won't tell you what was happening to the Hork-Bajir. That memory will be my own private memory.
All right, should we try the phone again to see if it
works?
Well,
no, just right. Pick it up. Do what works.
Hello? You're on.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
I know you guys want to get done and everything, but I decided this would be a good time to add a little bit of suspense.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, so I decided to interrupt.
Okay.
Thank you. Test the phones to make sure they still work.
Oh. Yep, they do.
They do.
That's really good.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, bye.
I also wanted to commend you because I'm jealous of your sound effects.
Oh, okay.
And number of listeners, too.
Who is this?
Alyssa.
Oh, hi, Alyssa.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for listening in.
Yeah, no problem.
Woohoo.
Really enjoying it.
Well, that's good.
All right.
All right, we'll see you later.
All right, bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oops.
Yeah. Our makeshift. That almost actually works better than the phone, the other.
Just hit the speaker button.
I did. It's not working.
Okay, I'm going to keep going.
Multiple times.
Da-da-da-da. That would be my own private memory. But when next I looked, the Hork-Bajir was gone, and in its place was a sudden rush of other Hork-Bajir and Taxon and humans, all surrounding Visser 3. The Visser looked angry. He was pointing at the sky. Within a few seconds, the helicopters were lifting off. The two bug fighters powered up and took off. I had a very bad feeling that I knew what had happened. The Doom Hork-Bajir had told Visser 3 about the bird he had fired at, and some other controller had probably said,
"Oh yeah, I saw a bird act too suspiciously too."
And someone had no doubt said,
"Hey, wasn't a bird that distracted the Hork-Bajir yesterday and let that human get away?"
Mr. 3 had put two and two together. An animal acting unlike an animal meant just one thing to him: Andalites and Morph. I guess I should have been flattered that Mr. 3 believed we Andalites were true Andalite warriors.
We Animorphs were true Andalite warriors.
Yes, we Animorphs were true Andalite warriors. But it didn't make any difference whether he thought I was an Andalite or a human. He was sending his creatures into the sky, looking for a bird that was no bird. Me. A bug fighter skimmed over the trees. Its twin draken beams fired again and again in short, sharp bursts of burning light. My heart was in my throat. They were killing every bird they saw. The hawk. This was her territory. But then, behind me, a helicopter. A draken beam, a near miss. I couldn't get away. Between the bug fighters and the helicopters, they were too numerous and too fast. But there was one place no one was going to risk firing a draken beam. Not after what the Visser 3 had just done to the careless Hork-Bajir. I let go of the air beneath my wings and dropped down, down, down.
Doobie doo down, down. comma down.
Doobie doo down, down.
Comma down. Doobie doo down, down.
Breaking up is hard to do.
Don't take your love away from me. Don't you leave my heart in misery. If you do, then I'll be blue. Cause breaking up is hard to do.
Back to the story.
Oh, thanks, Matt. Toward the vast truck ship, spread below me like a steel meadow. In an instant, they were all on me. But the angles were wrong. I was too close to the ship. They couldn't fire. I landed on top of the hovering ship. I planted my talons on the hard, cold metal surface. It stretched in every direction around me. The surface curved down and away from me so that I couldn't even see the edges. It was as if I was standing all alone on a metal moon. Over me... Oh, it was no moon. It was a space station. Over my head hovered helicopters and bug fighters. I could see human and Hork-Bajir and Taxon eyes all focused on me. I knew that look in their eyes, the look of the predator, and me, their prey.
Ooh, I think now would be a good time to pause. The last caller we had was Alyssa Rajay.
Uh-huh.
Her show is awesome, OSM. It's on Thursdays from 10 to midnight.
Cool.
She said that she was jealous of our listeners, so I thought I'd just plug.
Plug her show?
Yeah. It's true. It's pretty sick.
It's a pretty sick show.
It is awesome.
Yeah. So what time was that again?
That was 10 to midnight on Thursdays. Yeah. By the way, you're listening to KDUP 1580 AM.
The Sound of Portland.
Online at kdup.up.edu.
You can call us at
503-943-7121.
Or on
That's
campus.
That's 503-943-7121.
Or on campus at
extension 7121.
You can email us
at... That's only four numbers!
You can email us at...
Animorph...
_...
Radio...
at yahoo...
.com.
Or you can visit us at the Facebook Facebook group called
Animorphs the Radio Drama.
Yeah, there we
go.
No
one censored.
You can check us out on the web at our website,
animorphs-uncensored.com
/media.
Mm-hmm. That's all we've got going.
As of now.
Yeah, we're working on it.
All All right.
Chapter 24. It was not looking good for me. If I tried to fly off that ship, I would get Drake on 10 different ways before I could get away. It was an eerie scene.
Just a second.
You just knocked over Buddha!
Sorry.
Poor.
It's gotta be like karma or something.
No, it's okay. He's enlightened.
We need
it. Doesn't hurt.
It's an eerie scene, though.
Okay. Buddha. Reinstate Buddha.
It was not looking... Things then got worse. A lot worse.
Tobias needs all the karma he can get.
There you go. It floated up into my vision like a dark moon. The blade ship of Visser 3. It hovered just a few hundred feet up. I felt my last reserves of courage beginning to fail.
Tobias, old buddy,
I said to myself,
you are not going to get out of this alive.
But they just all hovered there. Slowly, I began to realize the truth. They didn't know what to do about me. They couldn't shoot me without hitting the ship.
And the light.
The voice in my head made me reel. I almost took the wing out of. I almost took wing out of sheer fright. He had never spoken directly to me before. It was a voice of such absolute power, such utter confidence. The mere silent sound of it in your head makes you want to obey, makes you quiver in fear. It is the voice of dread, the voice of destruction.
And delight. Fool, do you think I don't know what you are? A true bird would fly away.
Say nothing, I ordered myself. Nothing! If I tried to reply, he might know me for a human. I would not tell him that. I would not give him anything. I closed my mind, but I could not shut out that dark voice.
Give yourself up, Andalite. I can feel your anger. I will give you a quick and painless death. The memory... Sorry. As soon as you tell me where the others are...
I had seen what Visser 3 did to the Hork-Bajir who displeased him. The memory was fresh in my mind.
Have it your way, Andalite. This is Burger King. I am patient. I can wait here for as long as it takes.
I was like, that's in there?
And then...
That's why no one eats at Burger King. Visser 3 likes it.
And then... You will die.
Oh, sorry.
Quickly, by Dracon Beam. Or, perhaps more... If we can snare you... More slowly here in my blade ship, this fully operational battle station. Much more slowly. Much more slowly. You're pitiful, Ben. An entire legion of my best troops await them.
Oh, I'm quite. It will be operational. When your friends
are it's too much fun. Too much fun.
Just then I heard another voice in my head, a very different voice. It was faint, as if it were far away.
Luke. No.
Tobias! Tobias, can you hear me?
Rachel!
Yes, I can hear you. Tobias, we're trapped. The tank is full, but the grate won't open. Jake and Cassie and Jake have already morphed back to human, but they can't get it open. We're trapped in here.
Quite sure the gate will be shut when your friends arrive.
Great, but
cool. Oh, it just keeps going.
Rachel, what can I do? We can't get out.
Rachel cried.
Listen to me, Tobias. We're trapped. There is no way out. The ship will take off soon. They'll find us when they get to the mothership and unload the water. Tobias, we don't want to be taken alive.
My blood ran cold. My head was whirling.
What are you talking about? Listen, Tobias, we can't be taken alive. Do you understand? If there's anything you can do, anything.
Rachel, what can I do? I can't get you out of there.
I know.
Rachel said.
We all know. But if there's some way to... If the ship could be destroyed... We know it's probably not possible. If there was some way... No! No! I have to morph to human. We'll tread water here. We have to be ready for when we get to the mothership. Then we'll morph into other animals and go down fighting. This can't be happening!
I cried.
This can't be happening! It's not possible!
No!
I guess Marco was right all along.
Rachel said sadly.
I guess it was always insane to think we could fight the Yerks. Rachel!
I never told you.
You didn't have to, Tobias.
She said.
I knew. Goodbye.
That's the best one yet. Oh. She fell silent. In my mind, I could picture her regaining her human shape, treading water with the others, unable to escape, expecting only the worst, praying that I might find a way to make their end swift. As Visser 3 had offered to make mine, we had lost, the Yerks had won, finally, and when we were gone, the last hope of the human race would die. Above me, the blade ship waited like a hawk watching a rabbit, ready to swoop down and finish me. Only I wasn't a rabbit.
I was a hawk.
Visser 3 was the predator? Well, so was I, and I no longer had anything to be afraid of. If my friends were to die in the mothership, I would be lost and alone in a world where I belonged nowhere. I had nothing more to lose.
Just go with it! Go with it.
No, buddy, oh. No. Just on, then I saw on. Something that butt. Should have terrified me. Across the metal plane of the ship, they crawled and slithered toward me. All around me, a dozen of them. Giant worms, centipedes with a hunger for living flesh. They had come from the inside of the ship on Visser 3's oars. If I stayed put, they would catch me. If I flew, the hovering Yerk ships would fry me. The taxons closed the circle around me.
It looks as if you have run out of time.
Visser 3 said in my head. He laughed. It was not a nice laugh.
Ah, Visser 3, you ruthless predator.
I thought.
Very clever. You have me trapped. Trapped like a rabbit.
But a trapped rabbit is one thing, and a trapped hawk, a hawk with the mind of a human being, is a whole different matter. The nearest taxon leveled a handheld draken beam at me. He watched me with two of the circle of red globs they have for eyes. I pushed off with my feet. I beat the air with my wings. I flew straight for those red jello eyes. Take that, Bill Cosby! He raised one of his feeble forearms to shield his eyes. The wrong move. I trimmed a shade of red. Right. Raked my talons forward and struck like I was hitting a mouse in a field. My talons closed around the draken beam. The taxon's weak grip was no match for my speed. The draken beam tore loose from his grip.
Get him!
Visser 3 cried. I could practically see the blade ship rock from the force of his rage, but I did not take to the air. I flew fast, but hugged the surface of the ship's metal curve. They could not hit me without hitting their precious ship. I knew just where I wanted to go. Wingtips actually hitting the ship on each downstroke, I raced toward the ship's bridge, toward the tiny windows where I had seen the taxon crew. I could not save my friends, perhaps, but I could try to grant Rachel's last wish. I could try to bring this ship down, even if it meant the end of my friends.
Alright, chapter 25. Take off, move! Wait.
Take off, no, move!
Oh, right.
Take off, move!
Visser 3 commanded the crew of the truck ship. Almost immediately, the huge thing began to move forward. Very slowly at first, but as it moved, it created a headwind. The bridge was moving away from me. The ship was rising as it went. 100 feet up now. 200.
Ah! Not so easy, Andalite.
Right then, I had a powerful urge to shock the evil monster and say,
guess what, creep? Not an Andalite at all. The name
is Tobias.
But I wasn't ready to start bragging. The truth was, it was looking bad. The ship was slowly picking up speed. I flapped harder, harder. I gained again. But it was painfully slow. I was wearing out. The Dracon beam weighed me down. The headwind was building. Ahead of me, just a few feet away, I saw the bulge of the bridge. I gained a foot. Another. Another. I landed and folded my wings. I couldn't fly anymore. But I could still pull myself along with my talons.
Oh.
Gripping the small edges and ridges that ran along the top of the ship's bridge. I was there, below me, transparent plastic. I could see the crew of the bridge. Taxon stared wildly up at me. With one desperate lunge, I propelled myself into the air. I had to fly full force to stay ahead of the onrushing windows of the bridge. Then, with one sharp talon, I pulled the trigger on the Dracon beam.
Fry, you worms!
There was no recoil. Not like a regular gun. At all. Not like a regular gun at all.
At all.
But a beam of intense red light lanced from me to the bridge.
Lanced, lanced again.
It burned a hole through the window, sliced through a fat taxon, and began slicing up control panels and instrumentation like a hot knife going through butter. I squeezed the trigger for as long as I could. At last, exhausted, I could do no more. The Dracon beam slipped from my talons and plunged toward the earth below. But I had done it. It was an incredible and terrible thing to see. The ship, big as a skyscraper, vast beyond belief, shuddered as though it had hit a speed bump.
Like Independence
Day. Still, it rose sharply upward into the sky, as if it were a whale breaching. It aimed for space, its natural home, but it was clear that it was no longer under control. It rolled suddenly into its side, onto its side.
No, no, don't pause for the explosion. Just make noises. That'll work. Yay, lots of explosion. A ball of orange flame.
The out-of-control ship had smashed recklessly into one of the helicopters. The chopper fell in ruins. The bug fighters and the blade ship scurried quickly out of the way, but too late. Crunch. One of the bug fighters had slammed into the side of the ship. The bug fighter was finished. The blade ship and the remaining bug fighter withdrew quickly. And then I saw the hole, a tear 100 feet along the open, 100 feet long, had been opened in the side of the truck ship. From the hole, the water of the lake gushed. It was a waterfall from the sky, millions of gallons hemorrhaging out.
Oh boy,
I whispered. We were maybe 700 feet up over the forest now when I saw them. Cassie first, then Rachel, and Marco together. And Jake. They fell, fully human, from the torn side of the ship. They plummeted helplessly, doomed to the uprushing ground.
No!
I knew there was nothing I could do. I knew it. But I still hurtled after them, hurtled with all my speed. To them as they fell, arms flailing, mouths open, and screams of terror.
Chapter 26.
They fell. But as they fell, they began to change. Cassie was the first. Feathers sprouted from her skin. One of her morphs was an osprey, a distant cousin of the Red Tails. She fell, and as she fell, she became less and less of a human. Marco and Rachel had both previously morphed bald eagles.
Wrong.
Bald eagles are huge birds, much larger than red-tailed hawks. Don't take it away from me. As I watched, long wings replaced their flailing arms. Jake morphed a peregrine falcon. Peregrines are so fast, they make red tails look like they're standing still. And as I watched, the peregrine's beak grew from Jake's mouth. Not enough time, not enough time. They would hit the ground before... Cassie opened her wings and skimmed above the treetops. Marco barely made it. He fell down into the forest, out of sight. I was sure he had been too late. But then, up from the trees floated a bird with a 6-foot wing spread and a proud white head.
Yes!
I cried. In the sky overhead, the huge truck ship stopped climbing. It rolled back again, on its back this time, and plunged back to Earth.
Man, that was way too close.
I heard Marco yell.
That does it. I have had it with this Animorph stuff. You're not safe yet.
I told him.
Look.
With the truck ship out of the way and falling to Earth, the blade ship and the bug fighters came after us.
Quick, into the trees, out of sight.
I yelled. Like a well-trained fighter squadron, we swooped down into the forest, down below the tops of the trees, into the forest of Endor, where the Yurks could no longer see us.
An explosion like a bomb going off. The truck ship had hit the ground.
The concussion rolled over us like a tidal wave of air. I rocketed into a tree, but was able to avoid being hurt.
Everyone okay?
I yelled. One by one, they said yes, but the explosion had disturbed every animal in the forest. The birds had all either hidden or flown away during the earlier fighting. Those few birds still left now took wing, startled. I saw her take off, the hawk. She was scared and wanted to run to the sky, but the sky was not a sanctuary for her. I don't know which ship fired the Draken beam, whether it was one of the bug fighters or the blade ship. You see,
They'd had a good long look at me, and she looked just like me. The draken beam sizzled. It burned off a wing, and she fell to earth.
Well, that takes care of the gold medal.
Never to fly again.
I just took away from the sadness, I feel.
Chapter 27.
The Yerk truck ship burned. What was left was eliminated by the Yerks. No evidence was left behind. No proof that we could show to the world. But we had destroyed it, and the bug fighter as well. We had gotten out alive, most of us. It was a day later when I went to see Rachel again. It was like she was expecting me.
Sorry.
Tobias.
She said.
Come in, it's safe.
I hopped through the window and fluttered over the over to the dresser.
How are you doing?
She asked.
I'm okay.
I said. She looked unsure of what to say next.
Look, Tobias, maybe this seems crazy, but Cassie and I were thinking, you know, that maybe we'd go back up to the lake, try and find her, her body, the hawk, you know, at least bury her.
No, that doesn't sound crazy, Rachel.
I said softly.
Not crazy at all, just human.
She looked keenly at me.
Well, we are human, all of us.
Yes, I knew I was human when I realized how sad I was that she was killed. See, a hawk wouldn't care. If she had been my mate, I would have missed her, been disturbed. But sadness? That's a human emotion. I know it seems strange, but I guess only a human would really care that a bird had died.
If you helped us look, maybe we could still find her body.
No, her body will be eaten by a raccoon or a wolf or another bird.
Use the voice.
Maybe, no. Her body will be eaten by a raccoon or a wolf. Or another bird. Maybe even another hawk. That is the way of life.
It's the circle of life.
That's just the way it is.
For wild animals. Tobias, not humans.
That's the way.
No, yeah, I said that.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's how I know that you're wrong, Rachel.
That's the way.
At least partly. I am human, yes, but I am also a hawk. I'm a predator who kills for food, and I'm also a human being who grieves over death.
She looked terribly sad. She's very human, my friend Rachel. I went to the window. It was a beautiful day outside. The sun was bright. The cumulus clouds advertised the thermals that would carry me effortlessly to the sky.
With neon signs.
I flew. I am Tobias. A boy. A hawk. Some strange mix of the two. You know why I can't tell you my last name? Or where I live? But you know I... You know... Let's try this again. You know now why I can't tell you my last name? Or where I live? But someday, you may look up in the sky and see the silhouette of a large bird of prey. Some large bird with a rending beak and sharp, tearing talons. Some bird with vast wings outstretched to ride the thermals. Be happy for me and for all who fly free.
Wait, we're not done.
Nope.
I'm not.
Don't miss Animorphs,
the radio drama.
Uncensored next week, The Message.
You know, I hate to sound like the only sensible person, so to speak.
Tobias said.
But you aren't here to fight sharks.
He's right.
I agreed.
Dolphins don't attack sharks unless the sharks attack first.
Wait! Rachel interrupted.
There's more than one shark. And there's something bigger, too.
You're right.
I said.
Several sharks and a great one.
A what?
Tobias asked. I was confused. What did I mean? The words great one had just popped into my mind.
I mean, there's a whale. A whale being attacked by sharks.
You guys do what you want.
Rachel said.
I'm going in.
We were steaming through the water when I caught sight of my first shark. He was too excited by the hunt to notice me until it was too late. With every bit of speed and power I could get from my tail, I rammed the tiger shark in the gill slits. Suddenly, from the murky depths, Jake and Rachel zoomed upward like missiles aimed at the sharks. Woof! Rachel hit her target. Jake's shark twisted just in time. Jake scraped across the shark's sandpaper skin, and before he could get clear, the shark was after him. Jake, he's on your tail!
I got him!
Look out! Coming up on your left, Marco! They were as fast as we were, as maneuverable as we were, and the sharks had one terrifying advantage. They did not know fear. The water was boiling with twisting, turning, speeding sharks and us dolphins, locked in a high-speed battle to the death. It suddenly occurred to me that we might lose. We might be killed.
Marco?
I think I'm hurt,
he said. I looked for him. He was drifting in the water, almost motionless, 20 yards away. We all swam over, crowding around him. Then I saw the wound. I think I would have screamed if I could have. His tail had been almost bitten off. It was hanging by a few jagged threads. It was useless. We were miles out in the ocean, and Marco could not hope to swim back.
Ellipsis.
Dum 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 dum.
Animorphs.
Interviews or opinions expressed in interviews or commentary are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KDUP's parent or any of its affiliates or employees, including the individual speaking.
And we're kind of still back.
Hey, everybody.
We made it through the book. Woo! Exactly. Woo! At 12.
Yeah!
Woo!
Okay, so if you guys want to call in now, it's perfectly fine. We're past the book.
We'll try to figure out how to
Back. We've decided we're going to start putting people on speakerphone and putting a mic on it because it seems to work really, really well.
And they can understand us.
They can hear us. The people can hear us. It's kind of exciting, so we're going to keep it up. And if anybody else who owns a radio show is listening, it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
We're not going to take credit for it because somebody else invented the darn device. But you know what? It's just brilliant.
Yeah.
So. Hey!
And testing device now.
You're on Animorphs.
The radio drama.
Uncensored.
Or not.
Still on.
Hey, I was just saying I loved your guys' show.
Awesome.
Is this Wes?
What?
Who's this?
Who is this?
This is Lynn from Utah.
Oh! From Utah, huh?
Really?
My first time listening to you guys.
Well, thanks for listening.
So, any criticisms, critiquenesses,
making fun
stuff?
Of Kyle?
Leave me alone.
Well, I got in the show, how long is your show?
2 hours.
Yeah.
We start at 10 on Sundays and go until 12.
Yeah, on Oregon time.
One night.
Yeah, 1 night a week.
1 night a week on Sunday nights.
Well, that's awesome. I was going to say, I think your jokes are funny and you guys have, good voices and different voices you guys do. I think you guys are great.
Well, awesome. Thank you very much.
You.
Tell your friends.
Yeah,
The more the merrier.
Spreading, so.
Yeah, the more.
I just wish the internet home so I could listen to you guys, every Sunday, but I'm at a friend's house, so hope to hear you guys again soon.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep.
Have a good night.
Have a great night.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh my God!
That is California
tonight
and
rules.
Utah.
Yeah. Oh!
How did you know it was going to be a good night? Tell us, CJ.
Oh,
tell us.
I don't know.
Oh,
it's amazing. It's because it's the Pope's birthday.
Oh yeah.
That's why he prayed for us.
That's amazing. Wow.
It really
All
is.
Right.
Is he listening?
You know, this just makes me want to get our website up even more.
Oh my! I know.
Because I mean, like the people, the people out of state. Are going to be able to listen to our show eventually.
I know.
Like, just be like, I'm ready for the next book.
Well,
I'm
no, and like, she found us, like, Iris just found us, like, searching around on the web.
She was like,
if we actually had, like, our website up so that it was, like, painfully obvious what it was, and, like, we actually got to figure out how to, use the thing that I designed.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
That would be
great. Oh, my gosh.
Plus, we could advertise to those clubs we found on Facebook. And
yeah.
Get even more listeners from out of state.
Oh,
this
my goodness.
This makes us excited
you
about
guys,
life.
You guys made our night. I
yeah,
mean, seriously. Because
yeah.
We were getting.
And even those that called from UP. I mean, you guys make this show
yeah.
what it is.
You are us. You are our rock.
Yeah.
Thank
our
you.
Peter.
Thank you for sticking with us at the beginning.
I had to add that.
So I'm not going to lie. I was kind of like. Sort of sad because like our list after spring break
you turned yourself off.
No, I didn't.
Oh no, you hit something
after.
Okay, we're back.
So like it kind of scared me because like it seemed like our listenership was falling off, but I don't care.
Yeah!
Two out of state callers is awesome.
Oh, that's amazing.
You're on Animorphs, the radio drama
uncensored.
Hey guys, I was just wondering if anyone has officially told CJ happy birthday yet.
Happy birthday, CJ!
Somebody did, but they said happy birthday in a half hour, so...
Oh.
I guess we could kind of sing now.
No, we couldn't.
Yeah.
I think we should. He's starting to blush!
No, we shouldn't.
All right. On the count of three. You ready?
I'm not singing, but
yeah, you are. You called in.
Who is this?
On the count of three. It's Allie.
I'm choosing not to answer.
Okay, this is Allie. I'm going to sing over you then.
Who else would this be?
One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. I don't hear your voice, Allie. Happy birthday to you.
You better be singing, Allie.
Happy birthday, dear CJ.
Nice.
Happy birthday to you.
We can't tell you who we are when fool is too risky. The thing you should know is that everyone is in really big trouble. Yeah, even me. What is it?
Thank you, little Miss Cheerful.
Oh, I am very bad.